a senior Iranian commander says the United States' humiliating exit from the region is the price it's paying for the assassination of General Qasem Soleimani. Yemeni army says it managed to liberate some 12,000 square kilometers of land in its offensives against Saudi-backed mercenaries in 2021. And the Palestinian government says Israel approved the construction of 12,000 new settler units and raised 177 Palestinian homes in occupied Al-Quds last year. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Appreciate you being with us. Well, Iran's Islamic Revolution Guard Corps says a humiliating withdrawal from the region will be the price the U.S. will have to pay for assassinating Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. IRGC spokesman Ramazan Sharif says it's now time for the U.S. to pull its troops out of other regional countries following its disgraceful withdrawal from Afghanistan. He pointed to recent remarks by former Afghan President Ashraf Ghani about how Americans betrayed him. Sharif urged Arab leaders in the region to avoid a similar fate by not relying on the U.S. He said General Soleimani had promised long ago to fully defeat terrorists as well as Washington's cronies in the region, a promise that materialized later on. The U.S. assassinated General Soleimani in Iraq 2 years ago. The commander was at the forefront of the war on terror in the region.
Iran begins marking the second anniversary of the U.S. assassination of the legendary anti-terror commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. In a meeting with General Soleimani's family in Tehran, leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, said General Soleimani has turned into a role model and a hero for the younger generation. Meanwhile, tens of thousands have taken part in ceremonies to pay tribute to the highly charismatic commander.
Soleimani was commander who did not allow the terrorists to approach our borders. He defeated Daesh in Iraq and Syria, so the entire region always owes him a big thank.
American politicians thought that by killing General Soleimani, they would be able to let the terrorists win, but we are all going to preserve his legacy.
Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said the enemies were under the delusion that with the martyrdom of General Soleimani, quote, they would be done with their job. However, the U.S. fled Afghanistan as a result of the sacrifices made by Soleimani.
Afghan youth learned many lessons from him. Today, all the freedom-seeking people in the world regard him as a role model.
All Afghan people should follow his path, and he is in our hearts. We all look at him as someone who defeated arrogant powers.
Ayatollah Khamenei also said Washington is inevitably pulling out of Iraq and only has an advisory role there, without any military presence. Iran's leader warned Iraqi officials to be vigilant about the issue. On Saturday, Iraqis held rallies on the streets of the capital, Baghdad, to honor top Iranian General Qasem Soleimani and senior Iraqi commander Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, both assassinated by the U.S. 2 years ago. Demonstrators called for the withdrawal of American forces from the country. Ayatollah Khamenei added the resistance front in Yemen is making gains, while the enemy has been brought to its knees in Syria. The leader, on Saturday, touched on the participation of tens of millions of people in Iraq, Iran, and other countries in the funeral and the processions held for General Soleimani after his assassination. General Soleimani is hailed as a hero of the fight against terrorism by people across the globe. The Islamic movement in Nigeria described General Soleimani as a hero of coordination between Christian and Muslim religions, leading victory over Daesh in Iraq and Syria. Also, Bolivia ex-president Evo Morales described General Soleimani as a hero in the fight against imperialism. The top Iranian anti-terror commander's assassination also exposed the U.S.'s support for terrorist groups and Washington's lies of countering terrorism.
Well, the U.S.'s assassination of General Soleimani amounted to a targeted killing in another country, an act that is illegal under international law. The government of Iraq, as the country where the assassination took place, denounced the move. Even U.S. Congress did not approve the strike. Donald Trump, the then president, could not prove that Soleimani had been an imminent threat, making the move illegal and condemned worldwide.
Iran has called on the United Nations to adopt a resolution condemning those behind the assassination of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. The Iranian President's office has made the call in a letter to the President of the UN General Assembly, saying the impunity granted to the perpetrators of the drone strike poses a threat to international peace and security. It stresses that attacks on government and diplomatic officials are crimes against humanity and violate the UN Charter and international law on human rights. It warns that inaction on state terrorism can lead to devastating consequences for the international community.
That type of extra-legal activity really was emphasized and came forward in a way that it had never seen before, basically to assassinate people in the middle of essentially a diplomatic mission in another country. And that's simply not possible to continue like that. And the response, of course, in Iraq was fury and the demand that the United States get out. So clearly, it's the wrong way to go from a whole variety of reasons, but especially a moral reason.
Iran's top general, Qasem Soleimani, was assassinated along with his companions, including Iraqi commander Abu Mahdi al-Mohandes, in a U.S. terrorist drone strike near the Baghdad International Airport on January 3, 2020. But the U.S. was not alone in committing this heinous crime. Israel provided Washington with the key intelligence support, including tracking General Soleimani's cell phone. General Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Mohandes were two iconic figures in the fight against the Daesh terrorist group that emerged amid the mayhem resulting from the U.S. invasion of Iraq in 2003. Both commanders were admired by Muslim nations for eliminating the U.S.-sponsored Daesh Takfiri terrorist group in the region, particularly in Iraq and Syria. Days after the brazen act, the Islamic Revolution Guard Corps launched a volley of missiles at two major military bases housing American forces in Iraq. Iran denounced the assassination as a state terrorism and vowed to end the American presence in the region as the ultimate act of revenge. The U.S. assassination drew a wave of condemnation from officials and movements through the world and triggered huge public protests across the region.
The Yemeni army hours ago held a presser detailing achievements against Saudi-backed mercenaries in 2021. Spokesman Yahya Saadi says the army last year liberated approximately 12,000 square kilometers of land. Saadi also says the army inflicted heavy losses on Saudi-backed mercenaries during ground and air operations, killing thousands of them. He added that scores of Saudi and Emirati troops, including top officers, were also killed during the Yemeni military operations last year. Now, the spokesman says the army will continue its operations to fully liberate Yemen from its enemies. Saudi Arabia and its Arab allies, as well as their mercenaries in Yemen, have been fighting the army there for more than 7 years now. Earlier, we were joined by political commentator Hossein al-Bakhanti with his take on the Yemeni army's achievements against Saudi-backed mercenaries. He says the gains show that Yemenis have the upper hand in the fight to liberate their country.
And this is exactly proof that all the numbers that Yahya Sari have released today, thousands of ballistic missiles attack and drone attack against Saudi-backed forces or Saudi forces inside Yemen and as well inside Saudi Arabia. This is actually really clear that Yemeni army now has the upper hand. Of course, we have seen Saudi held conference and releasing some numbers, but it's not clear how come that the Saudi, even though they claim that they have targeted all military installation, that they are defeating what they call the Houthi or Ansarullah or Yemeni army, but on the other hand, we see them that they are losing ground. And I believe that if Yemeni army will continue its attack, especially ballistic attack and drone attack against Saudi Arabia, I think that Yemeni will liberate more land in this year. And I believe that this year the war could end because Saudi has come to a point that they actually could not stop Yemeni army from advancing on the ground. They could not stop them from attacking through the sea. And as well, they could not stop Yemeni ballistic missile unit and as well drone unit to attack Saudi Arabia.
The new figures show how fast Israel has been advancing its expansionist policy in the occupied Palestinian territories over the past year. The Palestinian government says the regime approached the construction of 12,000 new settler units in the occupied Al-Quds alone last year. Now, the data shows Israel also razed 177 Palestinian homes and issued orders for the demolition of another 200 over the past year. Israeli military frequently demolishes Palestinian homes as part of a campaign to expand settlements. Palestinians say Israel is seeking to change the Arab identity of the occupied territories, and they've called for international action to halt those violations. All Israeli settlements are illegal under international law. A Palestinian prisoner in Israeli jail has slipped into a coma after months of being on a hunger strike over his detention without charge or trial. Lawyers for Hisham Abu Hawash are now warning of his imminent death. In recent months, dozens of other Palestinian prisoners have refused food to protest Israel's administrative detention policy. We've discussed this issue in our news review program.
Time now for the news review section. A Palestinian inmate who's been on hunger strike for months has gone into a coma. A lawyer for Palestinian prisoners says that Hisham Abu Hawash could die any second, quoting medical sources. Abu Hawash has been on hunger strike for nearly 140 days, and that in protest at Israeli authorities detaining Palestinians and keeping them incarcerated indefinitely without any trial. Palestinian sources say the Al-Quds Brigades, the military wing of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad Resistance Movement, has raised a state of alert in response to the news. This reportedly announced mobilization among its forces in Gaza and the occupied West Bank. Palestinians in the West Bank city of Ramallah have also taken to the streets to stage a rally in support of the critically ill prisoner. Joining me now will be Ashraf Shannon, our correspondent in Gaza City. Also, Saad Nim, professor of political science at Berzeit University, is joining us out of Ramallah. Ashraf, bring us an update on the situation in Gaza and the reaction that the Palestinians have had regarding this, and also the Palestinian factions reportedly there on the state of alert.
Yes, Behrouz, Palestinian resistance factions, mainly the Islamic Jihad's military wing of Quds Brigades, have been on high alert over the last few days, vacating their security posts and training center, transit centers, after issuing a strong warning to the Israeli regime over the situation and the health of Palestinian prisoner Hisham Abu Hawash, who has been hunger strike for nearly 140 days inside Israeli jails. Abu Hawash is protesting his administrative detention in which Israeli forces can keep Palestinian prisoners indefinitely and renew their sentences, not even sentence, renew their imprisonment periods without due process. Tensions are running high throughout the Palestinian territories, especially that a few weeks ago, the Secretary General of the Islamic Jihad Movement, Ziad Nakhala, said that the Islamic Jihad will go to war over Palestinian prisoners, Beirut.
And now over to Ramallah. Professor Nemer, what's your assessment of the situation? And this is still going on. Palestinians are being kept in harsh conditions, and this man is about to die any moment. Should we be optimistic that the Tel Aviv regime will do something?
In reality, the administrative arrest has been applied against lots of Palestinian prisoners, who do not know even when they are going to be released, since they are not even charged with any charges. Now, for Hisham Abu Hawash, who was arrested in October 2020, he went into hunger strike since August last year. Till now, more than 138 days now, and this morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, the family was notified by the lawyers that he went into a coma. There was lots of warnings about his situation, that he's going to die soon if they didn't take any action and real action in releasing him and ending his strike. On the other hand, most of his organs are not functioning now, and this is entering really a very dangerous zone. That aggravated the Palestinian in lots of levels from the Palestinian Authority, the Palestinians in Ramallah. There was yesterday a gathering and a demonstration, and today there is another one also in Ramallah to support the prisoner in hunger strike. Also in Gaza, Jihad al-Islami and Hamas warned Israel from the consequences of the death of another Palestinian prisoner, since we have already 227 Palestinian prisoners died in the Israeli prisons, or at the same time in the period of also interrogation. We don't want also another Palestinian to die. Because of that, we urge all the human rights organizations around the world, as well as the world community, to act in a way or another, or to pressurize the Israeli authorities to release Abu Hawash.
All right, thanks for that. Ashraf Shannon, our correspondent in Gaza City, and Saad Nim, professor of political science with Birzeit University in Ramallah.
Moving on to other news in the region, Saudi Arabia and the UAE, both located in the Persian Gulf region, are facing a rise in their daily COVID infections. We do not know if the rise is due to Omicron or not, because neither countries break down the cases by variant. On Sunday, new daily infections crossed 1,000 in Saudi Arabia for the first time since August. Neighboring UAE also saw its new daily cases reach 2,600. They were below 100 in October. Saudi Arabia and the UAE confirmed their first Omicron cases in early December. And with that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
In the limelight.
Kwasi Kwarteng, Britain's business secretary, faces a legal challenge over the tax handout to oil and gas operators by campaigners. Paid to Pollute, a group of environmental organizations, says that the taxpayer handouts to oil and gas companies are unlawful because they conflict with the UK's legal duty to achieve net zero emissions by 2050. We now present you an article written by John Ungood Thomas under the heading, Shell and BP paid zero tax on North Sea gas and oil for 3 years. The article has been published by The Observer. Shell and BP, which together produce more than 1.7 billion tons of greenhouse gases a year, have not paid any corporation tax on oil and gas production in the North Sea for the last 3 years. Company filings reveal the oil giants, which have an annual global footprint of greenhouse gases more than five times bigger than Britain's, are benefiting from billions of pounds of tax breaks and reliefs for oil and gas production. According to annual payments to governments report analyzed by The Observer, Shell and BP paid no corporation tax or production levies on North Sea oil operations between 2018 and 2020, and claimed tax relief of nearly £400 million. Over the same three-year period from 2018, 2019 and 2020, they paid shareholders more than £44 billion in dividends. A petroleum revenue tax of 35% was effectively scrapped by the then UK Chancellor of the Exchequer, George Osborne, in 2016. And oil giants can claim billions of pounds in taxpayer handouts for decommissioning rigs. The North Sea is now one of the most profitable areas in the world for oil and gas production, after tax cuts by the British government to purportedly encourage oil and gas production. Shell and BP have set targets to achieve net zero carbon emissions by 2050 by investing in cleaner energy, but claim that the United Kingdom will continue to need oil and gas from the North Sea, which also supports thousands of jobs. Climate campaigners, however, are now challenging the UK tax regime in a High Court case. They want the payouts to be scrapped and a ban on any new oil and gas projects in the North Sea to help cut carbon emissions. Philip Evans, oil and gas campaigner for Greenpeace UK, says it's outrageous that as the United Kingdom prepares to host global climate talks, COP26 in Glasgow, we still have one of the lowest effective tax rates in the world for oil extraction. We're giving tax breaks worth billions of pounds to companies that have been fueling the climate emergency for decades. There are about 180 oil rigs in the North Sea, and the sector has generated about £360 billion in net tax revenues since 1970, which is about £7.2 billion a year. The United Kingdom has some of the lowest oil tax rates in the world. An analysis by research company Rystad Energy in January found that Britain is now the most profitable company in the world for the development of oil and gas mega projects. Taxpayers will foot a bill of more than £18 billion for the decommissioning of the oil and gas infrastructure in the North Sea up to 2065, made up of tax repayments and a reduction in offshore corporation tax. Campaigners want the handouts to be scrapped altogether and used to invest in clean energy. Kwasi Kwarteng, Britain's business secretary, faces a legal challenge over the tax handout to oil and gas operators by campaigners. Paid to Pollute, a group of environmental organizations, says that the British taxpayer handouts to oil and gas companies are unlawful because they conflict with the United Kingdom's legal duty to achieve net zero carbon emissions by 2050. A judicial review is due to be heard before the end of the year. Gabriel Jaryazkov, a campaigner at Platform, a UK group that investigates the social and environmental effects of the global oil industry and is supporting the legal case, said, "The government has spent too long backing oil giants through tax breaks and subsidies. It has had devastating consequences for the climate." Oil giants Shell and BP also face strong opposition over new projects in the North Sea. A report published recently by Friends of the Earth and the New Economics Foundation found that the oil and gas industry is preparing to seek approval for 30 offshore projects by 2025. Shell has defended plans for the Cambo project, a controversial oil field off the Shetland Islands that contains about 800 million barrels of oil, and is awaiting approval from the Oil and Gas Authority, a government licensing body. Greenpeace lost a legal bid recently for the government to revoke the permit for BP to drill at the Vorlich oil field in the North Sea, which started production in November of last year. It was reported by Reuters news agency recently that offshore petroleum regulator for environment and decommissioning had rejected Shell's plans to develop the Jackdaw gas field in the North Sea after considering its environmental statement. A Shell spokesperson said, our total oil production already peaked in 2019 and we expect it to continue to decline, including through divestments. We're already investing billions of dollars in low-carbon energy. The North Sea transition deal agreed earlier this year also maps out how the sector will reduce emissions in line with the government's net zero targets. The company said it paid no corporation tax on North Sea production last year because of tax losses in previous years. A BP spokesperson said all BP's North Sea assets are owned by companies that are subject to British tax in accordance with British laws. Over the years, BP has contributed over £40 billion in taxes to the UK government from its North Sea business. The spokesperson added, in recent years, in line with long-standing UK tax regulations, tax relief on the significant investments we have recently made in the North Sea business and the challenging price environment, including the steep oil price falls in 2015 and in 2020, have meant we have paid no North Sea corporate taxes. A British government spokesperson said the UK oil and gas industry has paid around £375 billion in production taxes to date, with companies in the North Sea subject to headline rates that are more than double those paid by other businesses. Relief for decommissioning costs is a fundamental part of the British tax system.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners, today's is the first anniversary of the demise of Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi, So let's take a listen to Sheikh Hamza Sodagar.
One of the things that Utla Misbah was very much involved in was that he took this responsibility that the Ahlul Bayt have put on the shoulders of the ulama very seriously. If we have the likes of Hajj Qasim and Hajj Abu Mahdi that are defending the physical borders of Islam and not allowing the kuffar to barge in to take an inch of the territory of the Muslimin, and may Allah bless them, ulama, according to the hadith, are responsible to protect the borders of Islam, the ideological borders of Islam. Utla Misbah took this very seriously. And he gave whatever was required. He put his life on the line as part of the revolution. When Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh started his movement, there were a few of the ulama that joined hands and formed a body that later on came to be known as Jama'iyya Mudarrasina Hawziyya Ilmiyya Qom, or in other words, the Society of the Teachers, Mudarrasin, the teachers of the Hawza of Qom. These were prominent teachers at the time. In Qom, Ayatollah Khamenei was part of that society, part of that group, that organization that was founded by these ulama. He was one of the founders, Ayatollah Khamenei was. Ayatollah Mishkini, that you've heard of, was part of that. There were a few others. One of them is Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi. Shahid Beheshti was also part of that. And they, under the leadership of Imam Khomeini, fought against the tyranny of the establishment in Iran before the revolution, the establishment that was there before the revolution. So they were part of the figures that guided people under the leadership of Imam Khomeini to overthrow that tyranny. He was part of the secret movement of the ulama against the regime. They used to publish two periodicals during that time against the Shah's regime. And one of those, by the title of Intiqam, was one which Utla Misbah Yazdi took care of entirely by himself, writing all the articles, printing it, typing it, printing it, getting it to the people to distribute. And they had a secret network of people to distribute this material that would enlighten the people's minds, give the idea of revolution, guide their minds as to what their society needs to look like and how this is very wrong, what is happening, and that they are responsible, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in terms of help and assistance, and what their responsibility towards Allah is in not giving in to this condition, and so on and so forth. These were very effective periodicals. Also, he was very sensitive towards Islam being diluted. Whenever he felt a taklif that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to perform, he did it. He did not care who else believes or thinks what about his activity. The only thing he cared for is, does Allah want this from me or not? Let me clarify that. Once that was clear, Allah wants this done, it doesn't matter who dislikes him. And one of the areas that he, as this alim, who again is age-wise senior to Ayatollah Khamenei, this great alim that has all these students, he used to constantly and consistently, different ways, bring up the topic of Ayatollah Khamenei, of the leadership, and insist to everyone that's hearing, appreciate this blessing from Allah. Appreciate this blessing from Allah. He is a great blessing from Allah. He's the representative of the 12th Imam. Whatever he says is right. Everyone needs to listen to what he says. This is not some politician. This is not someone who, for whatever other reason, is doing this. And he could have, just like many unfortunately didn't do this. Many of those who were not as knowledgeable, I wanted to say half as knowledgeable, some of them really are not even half as knowledgeable as Ayatollah Misbah. And they have not produced students that are themselves great ulama. Each of the students of Ayatollah Misbah, each of them, a number of them, a good number of them, in the tens, perhaps hundreds, the ones I know in the tens, each of them is an established scholar with an abundance of knowledge and information of Islam. Hardworking ulama. Those other people don't even have half the students that he has. In terms of value, yes, some of them perhaps have larger numbers quantity-wise, although even that is in question. But quality, clearly the students of Ayatollah Misbah. They didn't go, although they weren't against this, but they didn't do what Ayatollah Misbah. One of the takalif he felt is his responsibility, and his teacher Ayatollah Bahjat told him, is that I need to, myself directly and through my, and tell my students and tell everybody, you have got to promote Ayatollah Khamenei. Ayatollah Khamenei is the representative of the 12th Imam. We have to do this. He felt it's a takleef. If he thought something is right, he did it. If he didn't think it's right, he didn't do it. He didn't care. He didn't give a damn. It was only when he knew it's right. He didn't praise anyone if he didn't think they're not, if he didn't think they're worthy of praise, he never praised them. He praised Ayatollah Khamenei because he was 110% sure that he is worthy of that praise. The level of praise. A very capable man in terms of bringing serious and fundamental change to the Hawza. Very serious about it. Very serious about it. The change he brought personally to the way the Hawza functions before and after his work is really not comparable. Honestly, it's not comparable. Others were involved with trying to bring about positive change, making the system more efficient, more comprehensive in terms of the studies that are required for the soldiers, the ideological soldiers of Islam. Others were part of that. They had efforts, they put efforts into that as well. But his work is incomparable. This is the type of person that he was. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me the opportunity of being with this and seeing this great man firsthand. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask him to raise the status of Ayatollah Misbah. He is already elevated. He is already with the Ahlul Bayt. We ask Allah to increase his rewards and increase his blessings.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen. Oh.
محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
General Soleimani and Unity. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, salam and welcome to the program. In the early hours of January 3rd, 2020, the great Satan, the U.S., shocked the world by assassinating the greatest commander of the Front of Resistance and the main enemy of terrorists, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. Soleimani was not a popular figure only among Iranians, but also among Muslims and oppressed in the region. He was the man who destroyed all conspiracies of the U.S. Zionism-Saudi triangle to depict Islam as a barbarian religion which wants to spread through gunpoint and shedding the blood of the innocent. This came while the former U.S. President Donald Trump was the real terrorist who brazenly ordered the assassination of this legendary commander in front of the world TV channels. General Soleimani was the man to whom not only the people of Palestine, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Yemen, Bahrain, and Nigeria, but also the Europeans owe their peace and living in calm. Had it not been for the strenuous efforts of this unmatched commander, Europeans would have been plunged in terror and shock day and night as the wave of Daesh and Takfiri terrorists was sweeping rapidly to London, Paris, and other European capitals. Qasem Soleimani was one of the besiegees of Imam Khomeini, who thought of unity of Muslims as the main ideal of Imam Khomeini. Like his late leader, he knew that the only way to destroy the sedition of the global arrogance and Zionism was to unite all Islamic sects and freedom seekers in the world. After the passing away of Imam Khomeini, brave commanders like Qasem Soleimani and his self-sacrificing forces have kept this ideal alive through the leadership and command of Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. The martyrdom of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani and his companions revolutionized Iran and many Islamic nations. People in different cities of Iran held such a huge funeral that had not been seen since the funeral of the father of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him. People in Palestine, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Yemen, Bahrain, Kashmir, Nigeria, and so on sympathized with Iranians and mourned the loss of the great commander of the Axis of Resistance. However, other masses in India, Turkey, Nigeria, and even the people in Russia, China, Belarus, Canada, and the US, Britain, and Germany shared sad feelings with Iranians. This was the unity of hearts as Soleimani was pursuing. This was the very cause which the U.S. and its cohorts in the front of arrogance and Zionism are strongly opposed to. The U.S. and its accomplices have always sought to disunite sects and ethnics to catch fish in troubled water. They pursued their mercantilist and profiteering desires so to sell arms and fill their coffers through waging wars here and there. They are seriously opposed to independent governments and have always tried to bring their stooges to power in order to loot the resources of other nations. Fabrication of terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda, Daesh, and Nusra and Boko Haram has been in line with the evil goals of the U.S. and Zionism. The legendary anti-terrorist commander Qasem Soleimani shattered the dreams of the arrogance and Zionism and thwarted their plots one after the other. He was the man who brought peace and calm to Syria and rescued the women and children of the country from the clutches of bloodthirsty terrorists. As the U.S. and Zionist schemes were foiled in Syria, they dispatched their terrorist puppets to Iraq, this time with the pretext of fighting terrorism. As a matter of fact, this method has been institutionalized in the U.S. to wage war and unleash terror under the guise of fighting war and terrorism. Thus, terrorists committed the most gruesome crimes in Iraq just under the nose of the U.S. forces who masqueraded to seek peace and fight terrorism. The Iraqi people had no weapon or ammunition for self-defense. One of the Iraqi commanders said, "Once in fighting Daesh, we had only one Kalashnikov for 10 people. This means nothing." In such tough circumstances, Qasem Soleimani entered the scene and united all sects and groups in the region. He even gathered Izzadis and Christians around the same cause, namely liberation of Iraq and destroying Takfiri terrorists. One of his epic, unforgettable battles in Iraq was his fight for liberation of the Amirli city in north of Baghdad. Amirli is a Turkmen-inhabited small city where thousands of people, mainly women and children, were besieged by terrorist groups for several months. The valiant commander of Islam flew to the middle of the enemy forces by a helicopter and organized the remaining forces there. In a matter of a few days, the siege was broken and the people of the city were liberated. The terrorist training regime of the U.S. falsely thought that it could defeat an armed General Soleimani by assassinating him. What happened after this dastardly act of terror was quite the opposite of the U.S. calculations. Now Qasem Soleimani has been duplicated and proliferated in thousands throughout the Islamic world and among the front of resistance. For sure, the ultimate revenge for Soleimani's blood is the expulsion of all terrorist forces of the invading and occupying U.S. Army from the entire region. Yet, as the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei, said, all the commanders and perpetrators of the assassination of Soleimani, including Donald Trump, must be brought to justice and taste revenge.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
If the truth is not clarified today, the place of the oppressors and the oppressed will be changed. December 12, 2021. This is the part of a speech delivered on December 12, 2021 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in meeting with a number of nurses and the families of those martyred while working in the health profession.
When Yazid made those nonsensical, ludicrous remarks, Hadhrat Zainab alayhi salam replied in an interesting way. She made this well-known, truly historical statement. Use every trick that you have. Use every trick that you know and every deception you can. But by God, you will not be able to erase our memory. In today's language, this means do whatever awful things you can, but you cannot make people forget about us. Whom does she say this to? To the arrogant, proud, tyrannic, bloodthirsty Yazid. This shows the inner strength of a woman. What strength is this? What greatness is this? These qualities are a sign of wisdom and prudence. Those statements were made in a calculated manner. But when she addresses the people, she does not express her strength. Instead, she makes critical remarks, explaining things and blames people who do not know what they have done and what they should have done.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
When Hadhrat Zainab delivered a speech in Kufa, the people began to cry. In response, Zainab alayhi salam said, Are you crying? May your tears never stop, and may your moans and groans never end. In other words, she tells them, What are these tears? Do you know what you have done? Then she says, You are like a woman who undoes her weaving after having tied it firmly. You have destroyed all your past effort. She spoke in this way, I find it highly probable that one of the important reasons behind the movement of Al-Tawabin, the repenters, who later rose up in Kufa and launched the great movement, was the sermon delivered by Hadhrat Zainab alayhi salam. This is the first point about Hadhrat Zainab alayhi salam.
Allah, I want to thank you. That you've done for me through all my years I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com www.ifpr.org/en.